At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to the Popcorn Hour. I'm Matt, and this is James, and today we're talking about 2025, The Running Man. And since we just filmed our movie news, I don't think we'll go into what we watched. So watch our movie news to find out what we watched, if you care. All right, so on Monday we went and watched The Running Man in theaters, and so this is based off of the Stephen King book, The Running Man. Came out this month, directed by Edgar Wright. It's the dystopian action satirical thriller. Runtime about 133 minutes. And the plot of this is, in a dystopian near future ruled by megacorporations and collapsing social systems, a desperate father, Ben Richards, volunteers for The Running Man, a deadly reality competition where runners must survive 30 days while being hunted by state-approved assassins. As the world watches through an all-seeing media system, Richards becomes an unexpected symbol of resistance, hope, and rebellion. His fight for survival exposes the machinery of exploitation behind the world's most popular entertainment. So, before we get into this, what are your first thoughts?
When we first watched the trailer in theaters, I remember you didn't really care. You were like, oh, that doesn't look that great. I was like, okay, it's something. And then it says Edgar Wright film, or directed by Edgar Wright. And I was like, okay, well, now I'm excited. Uh-huh. And it's one critique that people had about this movie is there wasn't enough Edgar Wright-ness to it.
Yeah.
But my only thing about that is I feel like he's just changing his director. I feel like this was, to me, I could see Edgar Wright all over this entire movie.
Okay.
And like if you watch the Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy, mm-hmm. and then you watch Baby Driver, those don't feel like the same movie at all. Mm-hmm. I think that Baby Driver is the most derivative from his style. Like, it feels the most derivative.
Mm-hmm.
But if the closer you look into the movie, the more you can see his like style into it. But I feel like Baby Driver, from the outside, is the furthest from Edgar Wright's style. I have the soundtrack right there.
Me too.
You also have the soundtrack back there. Underlining filmmaking aspects is probably the most Edgar Wright movie.
Okay.
But this one, there's a lot of scenes where I was like, that is completely Edgar Wright. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it was fun. I like the movie a lot.
Yeah, I don't
understand why people are hating on this movie at all.
I went on Letterboxd the day before, and I started reading some of the reviews of what people were saying, and a lot of people just hated it. But the biggest comment that I saw was, it's like there was not enough Edgar Wright in the film. And we'll get into more of that later. But I thought it was a really fun movie. I thought it was super enjoyable. And yes, there were some parts of it that I didn't like. But it's vastly different from the original Arnold Schwarzenegger Running Man movie. Vastly different.
But so I guess movies like this are like, they're a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is not a remake of the movie.
Right.
It is a it's an new adaptation of the book.
Yes.
It's kind of like the movie Alive and Society of the Snow. There's I think three movies, actually. I don't remember what the third one is called, but they're not, like, Society of the Snow is not a remake of Alive.
Mm-hmm.
It is a readaptation of the book.
Yeah. So. Yes. And when you were right. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, why? But then after we watched it, I was like, this is a perfect time to do this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they changed it. And I haven't read the book, so, and I don't know much about how the book plays out.
From what I've read, this is very, like, pretty aligned, yes. Except for the ending.
Yeah, yeah. And I of course you have to, like, update it from the 1980s to kind of fit into today's society. But overall, I think I preferred this one over the Arnold Schwarzenegger Running Man movie.
I preferred this one, like, 100%.
Yeah.
The only aspect that I think is better about the original is the hunters.
And yeah.
The only thing that was missing from this Running Man, I mean, it's kind of hard to be Arnold.
Yeah.
Like, you're just missing Arnold, so I guess that's, like, another thing. But, like, it still is just awesome. But I feel like that the pacing of the original one is just so fast.
It is really,
like, the
fast.
Movie starts and then immediately ends.
Yeah, it's really fast, and you don't get a second to kind of sit with anything in those scenes. Yeah. And it's just kind of like
go, go, go. But yeah. It's not like high octane. It's just, no, it's so
just,
fast.
Yeah, it's just, all right, we get a little bit of information. Let's move on to the next thing, and then move on to the next thing, and move on to the next thing. I was thinking the same thing. I tried watching the original last night, but I fell asleep.
I haven't seen it since I was like 12. And yeah. We talked about this before. We both got, like, Total Recall and Running Man, like, scenes confused with
each
other.
Yeah, I kind of mixed both of them together because I'm like, I don't remember this at all. I remember it happening different. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to realize that, like, more so Total Recall and not the Running Man, especially in the beginning. The beginning is kind of like where I'm like mostly kind of blend the two together. But yeah. This one, though, Glenn Powell does a great job being the action hero. Something that we haven't really seen a whole lot of in movies as of late. Like the true macho man.
Action
hero.
I've really missed that from.
Yes. Yeah.
From movies.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like.
I don't even know who the last one would have been. Like, I feel like Tom Cruise was close for a second. With, like, kind of Mission Impossible, but.
Yeah, but then again, not really.
Maybe Daniel Craig, the Bond stuff was a little closer.
But I feel like James Bond just is in a league of its own. There really hasn't been that type of.
You
can't say anything superhero either.
I guess you could kind of argue Tom Cruise and Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
But, like, before that.
Yeah, the 80s.
The 80s was, like, the time.
Prime.
That's why I think that's why one of my favorite parts about Thief.
Mm-hmm.
He's just.
Yeah, the typical action hero, but with Thief minus the muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a weird. James Caan had a weird build.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I did. Totally off topic, but I forgot to mention when we talked about Thief, James Caan, I didn't realize, had a son who's also an actor. And he plays one of the main characters in Hawaii Five-0.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. But then once I connected the dots, I was like, they look alike. So I'm like, all right. Yeah. All right. You ready? Okay. I want to start off by saying, well, spoilers from now on.
Go watch the movie.
Yes. When people say there's not enough Edgar Wright, and you say that there's plenty of Edgar Wright. What does that even mean?
Ooh, this is a great way to go into it. I feel like Edgar Wright is very about his pacing and his beats. Mm-hmm. He is on his beats. Like, he's mostly known for it in the Cornetto trilogy of, like, these quick zooms, quick pan shots, like phone wallet keys,
mm-hmm.
like that type. And then it like starts to change with like, or in Shaun of the Dead, when they're in the bar and it's Bohemian Rhapsody's playing and they're like hitting the zombies to the beat of the song. Like he's very on his beats.
Yeah.
And like this one, Glenn Powell had an earpiece in for anytime he's walking during a scene. And so he could walk to the beat, or if it was a song playing and he was running, he's running to the beat. And they had a walking and a running coordinator on set for this, so he knows like how to walk and run. But this is also a little off topic. I keep seeing reviews for it because this is the fifth Stephen King project this year, and people are saying The Long Walk walked so the Running Man could run.
Oh.
I was like, that is really funny. But or the biggest one for me is the scene where it's day one, he's got the mustache.
He's in the train station.
And then he's looking forward, and in the back you see the running man, Ben Richards.
Yeah.
Wanted, whatever. And then he turns to the left, and then his picture on the screen flips, looks to the left.
Yeah.
And then he looks over to the right, and then it flips again.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's just Edgar Wright there. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Cera, he gets Edgar Wright. Because like Scott Pilgrim, he gets it. So all of the scenes with Michael Cera. Like Michael Cera to me just feels like a tunnel for Edgar Wright. Like Edgar Wright goes, like tells the story through Michael Cera. And Michael Cera is just... Like, and this was just a glorified Kevin Malone.
Yeah.
Kevin Malone, that's not right. Kevin McAllister.
Oh.
I was thinking Kevin Malone's from The Office.
Yeah.
Kevin McAllister. And, like, that scene with him when he's, like, killing all the guards is so funny.
Yes.
When he's, like, sitting there.
He's so just.
And then he's, like cocking the gun. And then he's like, what are you doing? We're not playing. We don't have time to play. And then he's like, oh, just wait. And then he like whips around the corner. He's like, "I like my bacon extra crispy."
Yeah.
And he starts shooting. That it was so funny.
Yeah, that was one thing about this movie that as we're watching it, I didn't care for. But then afterwards, thinking about it, I actually really liked was the cheap one liners.
Yeah. I've seen people criticize that is that it's like kind of cringy.
Yes.
But that was like the charm of the original one. The original one didn't have as many. But they had one liners here and there.
Yeah.
But like Scott Pilgrim is literally all of these one liners.
Yes.
Which is totally true. Just Edgar Wright's thing. Like,
yeah.
That's actually hilarious.
And it's technically a satirical thriller.
Yeah.
So yes, you're gonna get those cheap dialogue lines and one liners and ones that are just kinda like, ew, why is that in there?
Yeah.
But then, like, you think about it a little bit.
Afterwards, you're like, that was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
When he's, like, crashing out and he's, like, smashing the laptop.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
After his family is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, what's wrong? And then he just like looks over and goes,
You'll just have to tune in.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Yes,
but it's so really funny. Stupid. And just like the charm of this movie.
Yeah.
Like it just adds to that like campiness.
Mm-hmm. I did really enjoy the look of the dystopian co-op city. That was really good. I liked all the grays. And it really feels like a
grungier, Blade Runner.
Yeah. And it is kind of like your typical dystopian kind of setting where everything just looks bleak and
trashy
and depressing and things like that. And then you get to where the high-end people live, and it's super bright and colorful and things like that. I really like that a lot. I didn't care for the opening scene.
Yeah, I do. The one thing I do say about both these movies is the opening scene is rough.
Yeah.
In both. But in this one, I feel like it picks up quickly. Right after that, it kind of just...
And you know what? I don't like it, but you do kind of get a... an automatic feel of what Ben Richards is about.
Yeah.
He's about family, but he has anger issues. And so when he's saying he didn't bring his kid there to get sympathy, he brought his kid there to prevent him from
putting smashing, his head yeah, through the table.
Yes. So immediately right there, you're like, okay, this guy's got anger issues, but he's all about his family. Mm-hmm. So, and his family is the one that keeps him grounded and things like that.
Like the scene where the woman has him like doing the Rorschachs.
Yes.
And then yeah, he's like,
so funny.
And then he's just like, or like one word and then like, what does it
mm-hmm.
mean to you? And then he's like just giving like these terrible answers.
Yes.
He's like 1,000, what do you say? Like 1,000 bunnies getting stabbed or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
And then she's like family. And then he goes everything.
Yeah. It was like you could tell he didn't care or anything like that. But it was really good.
I really liked how he had like an actual moral compass.
Yeah.
And he wasn't just like angry at everyone.
Uh-huh.
Like he's looking out for that guy that was like passing out in the line.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. then like he's fighting for the people.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't like how they try to like the guards try to beat him and he grabs the
yeah.
part, the I like actual electrocution. Like you could have done it a little bit lower and been fine.
I thought it was funnier when he just grabs the top.
At first it was like, I was like, really? And then he does it again later. Yeah. And then like, he has no reaction to it really. And he's like, okay, I'm driving the boat right now. And yeah. So it worked out well. I feel like that was kind of like a lot for me was, at first, it was like, why? I didn't like that. Eh. And then later, kind of, there's a payoff to it, which is nice. Or afterwards, I'm like, it worked for what it was. So, yeah.
I really liked how, like, right, like, after he figures out, like, how the game works.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, track him down. And then he just has the thing that says, mail it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, it says, you mail it.
Yes.
Like, that was cool.
Yeah. I thought it was... What I liked about this compared to the original movie was the surviving for 30 days.
Yeah.
And not you have 3 hours to get through mm-hmm. these four things. I think it works better in this day and age to do something like that. Because now it's pretty much like a lot of reality shows that we get already without all the killing, like mm-hmm. Survivor, Big Brother, things like that, where it's an extended period of time. And you're watching this character, this person do something for, you know, 30 plus days or whatever, or like The Amazing Race is mm-hmm. more similar to this, I guess, without all the killing. But, yeah, I liked how the game worked or ran, and, the host of the game, I think
I was going to say, job. I do think one thing I do like more is that in the original one, Dan Killian
mm-hmm.
is also the host
mm-hmm.
or he's basically just the host. And I like how there's a different host
yes.
in this one.
Yeah. And you have the mastermind behind it all. And he's kind of behind the scenes, which is, I think it makes more sense.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. And I mean, they're like, everyone was really good at like the show stuff. And I liked how in this one, it shows a bunch of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the original one, they just show one.
Yeah, it's like the climbing like dog. The
guys thing. Climbing the rope with yeah. dogs.
Yeah, they were
grabbing for money, I think it was called.
Yeah,
I thought that one was a little weird.
Doberman Pinschers.
Yeah, I thought that was weird and doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
But I like that we see all these game shows.
Yes. And it was interesting how Glenn Powell's character, Ben Richards, is just kind of like writing down like how yeah. he can make money from these game shows and try to figure out which one is best for him. Like the wheel. The running mm-hmm. of the wheel and,
yeah.
you know, answering questions, which is a neat idea without, you know, well, you could do something like that in real life, but make sure it's like safe, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that was neat. I also enjoyed how they selected people for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I like it better that Ben Richards isn't a criminal. Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go through this line, all these people, and then you go through this whole ordeal of physical activities and things like that, and mental activities to figure out which game they want you on.
Mm-hmm.
And Like, of course we know Ben Richards is going to be in The Running Man, even though they say, like, in the movie, he's not going for The Running Man. He wants to go for a different one. Mm-hmm. But, like, we all know, like, they were they had it plastered everywhere.
That also, to me, just felt so much like Edgar Wright, where it's like, I'm not doing this. But as the audience, we're like,
we know
where this is going.
Yeah, we know. Like, you can't just have a movie called The Running Man and then have the main character not do The Running Man. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was nice. I don't understand why people didn't like this movie.
Yeah, I don't see what people don't. I can see if you go in being hypercritical, going off of Edgar Wright.
Okay.
Like you're like, okay, this is Edgar Wright, so I'm gonna really, you know, like, be harsh about this, but this was an amazing popcorn movie.
Yeah, I could definitely see myself watching this when it ever comes out for free.
I'm definitely keeping this one in a cycle of my, like, favorite popcorn movies. Like, it obviously it is nothing like amazing or like one of the most, like, critically profound or whatever. It is a fun, enjoyable 2 hours, 20 minutes. However, is that how long?
An hour or. It was 133 minutes, so yeah.
Yeah, okay, so...
2 hours. Just over.
2 hour movie.
Yeah.
It was fun, enjoyable, entertaining, funny.
There wasn't really any downtime either. Like, there was a little bit, but it was more so... Like, there was something that you could still kind of keep in touch with, whereas, like, some action movies, like, there's downtime, and you're like, all right, can we kind of move it along?
Which I do feel like that is Osco. That is also very Edgar Wright. I feel like his second acts fall a little short for me, especially in Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz
does fall a little for me, and sometimes they're not really that, like, memorable. But they make the first and third act better and more rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's more action in the first acts of his movies, and then the second act it slows down, and then the third act picks back up.
Yeah,
like Shaun of the Dead. Is you get the breakout, and then the second act, they're just kind of, like, mellowing out. And then the third act, you get the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Hot Fuzz, it's the exact same wave. World's End, same wave. Scott Pilgrim, it's the same wave. Yeah. You're almost getting, like, repetitiveness when he's going after the seven deadly exes.
Uh-huh.
And then Baby Driver, you get a bunch of, you get robberies at the beginning. And then it slows down in the middle is when he, like, stops.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, they pick back up.
Yeah. I'm okay with that, though. I like the, like give me some action, give me into it at the beginning. And then let's take a breather. But keep the breather interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
It was, like, still, this one was still interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have, like, Ben Richards is, throughout the whole movie, he's being helped by multiple people. And, like, the dialogue between them is all nice and stuff like that. The stuff with the hook. The hotel apartment thing, like, it was fun. And even having, like, Ben Richards just sitting in bed,
watching
the Americanos, or, like, you know, just saying random things, or, like, he's looking outside and he's just, like, making up conversations about the people that are there.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun, you know? It's not just, like, boring.
I did see an interview with Edgar Wright talking about the Americanos, and they're like, so what about the Kardashians makes it, like, dystopian? And he was, like, kind of talking about how, like, all these shows are going to, like, be around, and I guess it's kind of, like, everyone, like, a bunch of people watch those shows, and then his co-writer, like, made it, they were like, I don't know, Americanos.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, what if they do that? And then they have, like, their hands are in the coffee business. That's where, like, they get all their money. And they're like, that's funny. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And then they actually talked to the people who film and produce stuff for the Kardashians, whatever their show is called, the Kardashians, I think.
The Kardashians, yeah.
Yeah, and they, like, asked how they, like, shoot it and what cameras they use and stuff.
Oh, okay. It looked very...
Yeah, it looked very good.
Similar, yeah. It was very good, yeah.
Because a lot of movies and stuff, when they show a movie or a TV show that isn't real, like one that they do... They always intentionally make it look, like, out of place and bad. But this one just looks real.
Yes. Yeah. It looked like they just took it off of TLC.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was a nice touch.
I will say, one gripe I have heard that I can kind of agree with, but I don't really care. I feel like it just adds to it, is that the people that he runs into, almost feel like video game NPCs. Like they're just kind of there to tell him something or tell him to go somewhere, and then that's what happens.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that. Yeah, I feel like it just adds to the like video game feel of this movie.
Yes. Yeah. Though going off of that, I don't mind that like NPC kind of vibe from all of these different side characters. I feel more so like we didn't get enough of them. Especially like the two brothers.
Yeah, I feel like they could have been a little more important.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you get to Michael Cera's character, like the brother sent him there.
Yeah.
So but there was no like exposition between like, you know, how they come to know each other, what their like connection is or anything like that. Like I could have used a little bit more. I saw some people say that like this would have been better as a limited series so that you could dive deeper into those side characters.
I'd prefer this to be a movie.
Yes, I do too. And I don't, while I agree that could work, I think
it wouldn't be as rewatchable.
No. And I think that the side characters are, they're side characters. They're getting Ben Richards from point A to point B, and like it is just like a game where, you know, you only have to focus with these, you do these little side quests and then after that it's done. Like it's a simple side quest and then you move on back to the main story. That's all this is, which is, it worked really well with the way they did it.
And people were saying that they didn't like the girl that was added in the last 30 minutes. And she was like one of the most pivotal.
She was probably my favorite, other than Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Like
I liked her a lot.
I did too, because she brought a lot of emotion and she brought a lot of.
She was very similar to the one in the original one too, which I liked. Yes. Which I thought that was really cool. And I liked her character a lot.
Yeah. The character did a good job of explaining without making the audience feel dumb of how Ben Richards' character kind of grows or is living compared to her. Like the scarf was like a big talking point, and that was, the dialogue was so good.
It's so funny because he keeps saying that scarf is a life around your neck. And then at the movie when he gets stabbed, he's like, can I borrow your scarf?
Yeah. And so I think it did a really good job of comparing Ben Richards and the people like him in this movie, and then her and the people like her in this movie, and trying to have the audience determine who is really the bad guy, you know? And I really like the line when she says, when she's talking about she has to help him, and then he's just kind of like, why? Like, I don't need this or something like that. And she's like, I'm not trying to prove it to you. I'm trying to prove that I'm a good person, even though like she probably, you know, she is a good person, but the way she lives compared to everybody else is like, she's considered the bad guy, you know?
I like, especially another moment that really felt like Edgar Wright. She's like, the Running Man, that's just like, it's not real. Like it's a fake show. Like, what? And then all of a sudden he like gets like in the car, and then she just completely like loses it. And he's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like that to me just felt like Edgar Wright.
Yeah. And that's pro wrestling for all you pro wrestling people that don't like it. It's pretty much what it is. Everybody's like, it's fake. But then you get hit with a chair and see how fake it is. Or a kendo stick or whatever, or something like that.
Kendo stick?
Yeah, kendo stick. It's like bamboo.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah, kind of. Almost. But yeah.
I like the music choices in this.
I did too. It definitely fit with a dystopian kind of feel to it. Plus like a video game type of environment.
Oh,
a reality show game as well.
The credits at the beginning, that also felt like Edgar Wright. You have this like initial scene, and then immediately after, he always does it. The character is just walking, and then the opening credits are playing while the character is walking. Every time, Shaun of the Dead,
he's walking to the grocery store.
Baby Driver, he's walking to get coffee.
And
this, he's doing that. He's walking to.
And then the Running Man is right there on the side. Yeah,
but the text boxes and then like those graphics that they use, like were so just reminiscent of like the 80s. Mm-hmm. Like it felt just like the RoboCop vision.
Yes.
But they turned it red.
Yeah.
Or even like Terminator, which also could have been an homage to Arnold.
Okay.
But I did like Arnold's homage, how his face is on the money.
Yes.
I thought that was cool.
And it's very, very quick and simple.
Yeah.
I did think like we were going to get like a real
when they keep Arnold. Talking about the president.
Yes. President, like, or the first winner. I immediately saw who, like, how that was going to turn out kind of towards the middle. Mm-hmm. Cause they kept bringing it up and I was like, oh, this is going to be a major plot.
That was weird.
Yeah. Everybody did a good job in this film. Glenn Powell's the action hero. Mm-hmm. And I like him better in this other than, like, what is that movie?
Anyone But You.
Anyone But You. I didn't like that movie.
I did not like that movie.
But either. I did enjoy Glenn Powell's, like, comedy in it.
Yeah, like, I felt like Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell, they were both fine in it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the movie for them. I don't think Sydney Sweeney should, I don't think romance movies is what she wants to do, from what it seems like. And, like, that's why she's doing this the boxing movie that's coming up. I feel like really know what's how that one's gonna go, but like I feel like that they both can do much better movies. And I feel like they kinda want to.
Well, with the like Anyone But You, it's like it's a cookie cutter plot.
Mm-hmm.
So to me,
it felt like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, to me, it's the same story over and over and over again. Girl has things going for her, or she doesn't have things going for her, and then her life kind of gets flipped upside down when she meets this person. Then they fight over something.
And they hate break each other up. For the whole movie.
Yeah, and then they get back together in this like over-the-top BS type of way. Like in Anyone But You, he goes on a helicopter, you know, and you could clearly see everything about this movie, about those types of movies, like from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why they don't work. But like you said, Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, like I think they have potential to do other stuff. Now that we've seen Glenn Powell in The Running Man, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
he can kind of take the reins from other like top action stars, mm-hmm. like Tom Cruise. I mean, he did call Tom Cruise and was just
Tom Cruise
for
did give him advice
little
about
bit of advice stunts. and then Tom Cruise talked to him for hours, mm-hmm. like mainly about, like, from what I saw Glenn Powell, he's like, I need, you know, how do I do this?
He also got permission from Arnold and from Stephen King.
Oh, that's good.
To play Ben Richards.
Nice.
He called them as well, emailed them. Or...
Yeah, from what I've been seeing of the promotional stuff of like Glenn Powell, I like the way he approaches projects.
I really loved the scenes where they're like, well, he's the perfect contestant. And then they start showing like stuff that he's done for his jobs. I love this. Like the one where he's on like some sort of rig in the ocean and he's like hanging off the rope, or he's like in the tunnel and like running to the ladder.
Yeah.
I thought those scenes were really cool.
Yeah. I like those.
Those also to me felt very Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like halfway through the movie, I was like, maybe probably like just before the third act started, I looked over at you and I was like, he would be a really, really good Booster Gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still don't see him as Batman.
Or Green Lantern.
Yeah, don't see him as Batman. He needs to have some comedy elements to whatever DC character, if he ever plays one.
Like, I think how he, like, is angry in this movie would be perfect if James Gunn did want to do, like, people calling Booster Gold Green Lantern.
Mm. Okay.
Like, that would be... I think he would be perfect for... He's like, for the last time, I'm Booster Gold, not Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I think that would be... I think he'd be really good for that character.
Yeah. I think... He's going to go places. Yeah. Another thing I liked about this movie was that there was no... There wasn't... Like, the movie is called Running Man, and they didn't hit it on the nose. You know, mm-hmm. like, where you have him running so much that
he actually walked more than he ran. A lot of people keep saying for a movie called The Running Man, he didn't run that much.
Which I like. Like, don't hit it on the nose.
I do love, my favorite shot though is one of him running. It's when he's in the hotel and he's like, I'm good. And then he looks out the window, realizes that the guy that's like tweaking out is one of the hunters. Mm-hmm. And then he realizes that the three guys that were talking drunk mm-hmm. were also hunters. And then they like the orb ball like goes through the window mm-hmm. and it's like tracking him. And then he's like running through the stairwell getting shot at.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite shot, which they use in every trailer because like it's such a cool shot.
Yeah. He did the first time he really, really ran. He kind of ran like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible with just like the knife hands.
Yeah. And like just, the stiffness. Yeah. He ran like a deer.
Yeah. And I was like, man, we're going to get a lot of that, aren't we? And we didn't, which is nice. Just because the movie's called Running Man doesn't mean you need to have your top star running the entire film.
Like the long walk. They're just walking the
whole time. Yeah. So I thought that was a really smart choice. Because that's what I heard a lot of people say about like the Final Reckoning Mission Impossible mm-hmm. movie. Is like there's just a lot of running for no reason. Like there's no point in... Like why is Tom Cruise running at this point? Like there's no point to it. And he's just running to run. And then so like... I totally get that. That's what I thought was going to happen and it didn't, which is smart choice. All right. Let's see.
The sound design. What do you think about that?
I liked it. So I liked the drones. Yeah. Those were nice cause they were subtle.
Yeah.
Kind of like a bee almost. Mm-hmm.
I thought he grabbed it and was like, stop filming me.
Yes.
And then the girl says it at the end. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. Also, when they're in the studio, I thought everything felt like a real game show, which was nice. Like the crowd, you know, cheering or booing. It felt real. I know that Bobby T's character is a... kind of like a mix between old school type of reality show hosts like mm-hmm. Jerry Springer. It was very reminiscent of that. Coleman Domingo as Bobby T. Yeah. I like how flashy he was and like the fireworks and the music that went along with the game show I thought felt very real. And I liked it a lot.
People were saying that they didn't like Josh Brolin in this movie. Because he played
such a good villain.
Because people were like, oh, he wasn't Josh Brolin enough. But they did perfect.
I did too.
He didn't do too much. He didn't do too little. People said that he didn't have like enough screen time. I thought he had an adequate enough amount.
Yeah.
For the plot.
What I liked a lot about his character was like, especially at the beginning, he's trying to be like Ben Richards' buddy.
Yeah.
You know, trying to give him tips or whatever. But really, he's like fueling his own endgame.
Yeah.
And
he's just trying to be controlling of them.
Yes, but in like in a manipulative way. He's trying to manipulate him and things like that. And it's like when he tells him, like, let me give you some advice. A lot of people, they kind of do this, that, and the other. But I suggest you go hide out with your people.
Yeah.
And then when he meets is it Molly or Mickey?
Molly.
Molly. Yeah. He's like. He's like, oh, what do you plan on doing? Oh, I plan on, you know, hiding out with my people. He's like, your people? They're going to be the first ones to
rat you out.
To rat you out.
That was really sad when he's like, I was going to wait to tell you.
Oh, man.
And then he like pulls out the jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Says Richards.
Yeah, he's going to be a partner. Yeah.
And he goes, man, well, never
mind. You could see just Glenn Powell's face just like, man.
Yeah.
Dang. And so, yeah, that was pretty bad. But it was nice to see William H. Macy in this movie.
Yeah.
You don't really see a whole lot of him doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice. Let's see. Maybe I got some behind-the-scenes stuff. So Edgar Wright wanted a more faithful adaptation of Stephen King's book, avoiding the campiness of the 87 film. There's still campiness.
Yeah.
Like, there's a decent amount of it. But it works. It works. Especially, like, my favorite ones are when Ben Richards is doing the videos.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Oh, when he's like the first one, he's like, they didn't say what I have to film, so I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah. And you can stare at my ass, and then he smacks it. And then, yeah, that was funny. The modernized elements of like AI driven hunting systems, deepfake media, and the blending of reality TV with social media, I thought fit very well into what's going on now with AI and how, like, I don't know how many times I can go online and there's like a video and it's like, it takes you a second to realize, but it's AI and it's not real. And they did that a lot with changing, you know, Ben Richards, like, background and things like that. Or, like, he's trying to be the hero, and then they turn him into the villain, which was cool. Mm. Arnold Schwarzenegger reportedly visited the set and encouraged Powell's interpretation. All drone cam shots were filmed using real FPF or FPV drones, cinematographers. Some of the hunter designs were inspired by real social media influencers and survivalist subcultures. That's interesting.
I do think the hunters, they did fall flat.
Yeah, right? there was nothing to. Like, yeah. We talked about the original film, like Sub-Zero, Buzzsaw. Like, they were...
Dynamo.
They were...
Captain Freedom or whatever his name was.
Yeah, they were so...
Distinct
and very... entertaining.
Yeah,
like having a persona was really what I liked about theirs over this one. Like, this one, you just had that one mysterious guy.
It was what, seven hunters or nine hunters,
something like that.
However many it was, I do feel like if they had all of them like that, then it would have been a little weird.
Or maybe split them up into a team, teams, and then have one person with a like over the top persona. Like, yeah. You just have the mysterious guy, or like whatever. If you did,
I don't know, three,
mm-hmm.
and then they each have two guys, but the big three are like Sub-Zero, mm-hmm. Dynamo, and whatever.
Yeah, they were kind of just people to get blown up and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. there was nothing to them really. Even the mysterious guy that ended up being the first, you know, person to get to 29 days. Mm-hmm. You know, like. His like why was kind of
his mask stupid. Was very reminiscent of like the Invisible Man.
Yeah,
it was very
similar.
I thought that was cool. Big Invisible Man fan. So,
all right. So based off of the book, let's see what's the same and what's different.
I know the ending. His family in the book does die, and I'm pretty sure Richards does crash the plane into the network tower. Mm.
Yeah. So what's the same? A poor, collapsing society driven by inequality. Richards as a desperate father trying to save his daughter. The entire premise of being hunted on live television. Themes of media manipulation, class oppression, and corporate power. Grimy, oppressive atmosphere closer to the book than the original 1987 film, which I definitely agree with. Some differences: updated surveillance tech, drones, biometrics, digital propaganda. Makes sense. A stronger role for underground resistance, hacked media. There really wasn't a whole lot of that, I think. More focus on psychological warfare and narrative control. The ending is less... It's more cathartic than the... book. So the tone is slicker and more cinematic. King's book was bleak and grimy. Wright adds satirical layers reminiscent of Black Mirror. So and then compared to the movie, the same, the game show as a violent televised spectacle, over the top hunters, though toned down in this version, which I agree with. Yes, very. Yeah.
But I do feel like it may be if the hunters, maybe they did this because if the hunters were like over the top, then the movie might have been doing a little too much.
Yeah, I agree with that. Broad strokes of corporate media villainy. Some differences between the two movies. This version, the 2025 version, is much closer to the novel in tone and story. There's no campy neon wrestling style aesthetics, more grounded realism. I agree with that. Less emphasis on one-liners and spectacle, more on tension and critique. That one I don't necessarily agree with. I think there was definitely a lot of one-liners, but it wasn't as bad as the original movie.
Yeah.
So I think it fit better in these. Like, it wasn't just thrown in there like some of the original lines. Ben Richards is portrayed as vulnerable rather than invincible, which makes a lot of sense because, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger was this big, you know, larger-than-life person. Social commentary is sharper and more relevant to the modern tech culture. So, yeah. I still agree that this new one is better than the original film. And I did like, compared to the original, I didn't necessarily like how they made Arnold Schwarzenegger's Ben Richards kind of like a fall guy and turn him into a criminal and
throw him in the game show.
Rather than this Ben Richards, Glenn Powell's Ben Richards, is trying to do something for his family. Like, I think that...
It's a better reasoning behind it.
Yeah, yeah. It helps the film a lot.
So I think I gave the original one star upon the rewatch. And then once it like kind of resonates for a while, I was like, it's just a cheesy, fun movie. I gotta give it two.
Yeah, I'd say the original is more of a two.
But this one, I give it a 3.5. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I can put it up to a four, but enjoyment wise, easy 4.5.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite, probably top three theater watches of the year.
Yeah. It was
number one has got to be Fantastic Four for us, because that theater that we went to was just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. This one was definitely so much fun to watch, and I was invested the whole time, and it worked for this day and age. Especially with the more prominent AI happening, it was fun. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I did give it a 3.5. I
don't understand why people are ranked. I've seen so many people on Letterboxd give this the same rating as the original.
Really?
If not lower.
I don't understand. I don't get it. It's fun. It was entertaining.
Like, I
the story makes sense.
I can see the gripes that people have, but I don't understand why they like hurt the movie that bad. I mean, I kind of understand a point of it, because like Mickey 17, I went in thinking that Bong Joon-ho was going to make like another Memories of Murder with this, you know, like something like really, really good. So, and then I just went in hypercritical, but I had fun with Mickey 17. I definitely went into hypercritical. I definitely need to give it a rewatch, but
yeah, I mean, more people are definitely.
So it does have on literally like IMDb, Letterboxd, and basically everything. It is only 0.1 higher than the original on like everything, because I know the original is a 3.2 and this one's a 3.3. Last time I checked.
Yeah,
and IMDb, I think it's a 6.8, and the original is a 6.7, I think. Or 6.6, and then this one's a 6.7.
Yeah, so looking at the ratings on Letterboxd, more people gave it a 3.5 than anything else. So, but barely.
Yeah.
It's like 3 and 3.5, and then 4.
But so, a big critique that I hear people are saying is that this movie's good, not great.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it's a good problem to have, I guess, because people are anticipating it to be 4-star, 5-star, but people are like, oh, it's just a good movie.
Yeah.
But like it's a good movie. Like it's.
Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. I don't think I'll watch it in theaters again, but I'll definitely watch it.
I think I'll probably watch it in theaters again.
I will definitely. Hopefully it comes out on like a streaming service. I don't think I'd pay for it again. But I would definitely watch it multiple times.
Yeah.
Definitely watch it more than the original. yeah. like over time. I've seen the original maybe four times, maybe. So I would definitely watch this multiple times. Mm. Yeah. It was fun. Any other thoughts?
Nope. Just go watch this movie. Go watch this movie. It was just a fun time. It was a good time.
Yeah. Definitely fun.
You can go see our social media stuff and other listening platforms at the top of the description. And then you can join us for Friday for movie news, as per usual. And then Tuesday's episode, do you want to say that? Next Tuesday?
No, because I don't know it right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
but yeah, survive and you walk away with $1 billion.